Welcome to Money, Markets and Mastermind, a CityWire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor or institutional capitalist looking for insights, analysis and expert opinion to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uester. I'm in studio today with Rudolf Geldenhuys, the 2024 Financial Planning Institute, or just FPI for short, Planner of the Year Award, to talk to us about the state of the financial planning profession in South Africa. I can hardly cope with all the paperwork of my own financial affairs, and just thinking of being responsible for other people's money and compliance just makes my head spin. Rudolf, welcome, and I'm a few months late, but congratulations on the prestigious award. And what I hear is it's no simple feat to even enter the race, not even talking about finishing or winning it.
Thanks, Ruan. It's absolutely wonderful to be here. I appreciate the congratulations. And yes, it's been quite a journey because the journey for me started January last year when I decided to enter the competition. And then it was a journey to get to where I am today.
So let's start with the award itself, being named the FPI Planner of the Year. Can you walk us through what this recognition means to you and what the selection process was like?
The award, let's be honest, I entered the competition with the intention of doing well and winning, but it was still a little bit unreal when they called my name because a lot of people have gone before me. Financial planners who I look up to that are at the top of their game that have won that award. So there was a little bit of doubt if I could live up to that and if I could contend at that level. But the process was worthwhile, even if the outcome would have been different. So just in a nutshell, the Financial Planner of the Year competition is based on three rounds. So for the first round, you have to submit a financial plan. So you need to be able to demonstrate the quality of your work and the quality of your financial planning ability to a group of moderators. But the trick around the first round is that it is completely anonymous. It's anonymous to the client, obviously due to Poppy. But secondly, it's anonymous to you as the planner. So on the downside, if you have a good rapport with the Financial Planning Institute, that positive bias can't count in your favor. But on the other side, if you don't necessarily have such a good rapport, they also don't know who you are. So it really levels the playing field. So where moderators have to look at, does your financial plan make sense? And do you cover all the right areas? Then the second round is a practice management audit. So that's where a bunch of practice management experts come in and ask you really tough questions around your client base, how you do business, because ultimately they want to try and establish this financial plan that you submitted as proof you can actually deliver through your systems and strategies and procedures. And five people go through to that round, if I'm not mistaken. And then the third and final round, the top three financial planners go through to. And then you have a two-hour interview with the board of the Financial Planning Institute. And ultimately what they want to determine is, will you be a good ambassador for the financial planning profession over the next year? And the whole competition, all three rounds, are cumulative in points. So if you are able to make it to the final round and you had a great second and third round interview, but your financial plan was good enough to get you into the competition, you won't walk away with the ultimate title because it's cumulative. So each round matters and builds onto one another. So a worthwhile process to go through, so many learnings, and just an incredible honor to have walked away as the 2024 Financial Planner of the Year.
Rudolf, what do you think set you apart from the other contenders last year when the competition was held? I mean, you just mentioned there was so much experience and people that you look up to that also entered this competition. So you must have done something very different.
I can't say that I won the competition based on skill alone, because that would be very far from the truth. I'm not perfect by any means, still learning, still growing, still working on my craft. But I think the thing that set me apart was my relationships. So I, over the last number of years, just due to who I am and how I grew up, like, I really value relationships. And I believe I always have the opportunity to learn from someone and glean something from someone's process that I can use. And I realized at the start of 2024 that if I wanted to pursue financial planner of the year and I wanted to put myself in a position where I have the opportunity to win, I realized I can't do it myself. So my superpower for the competition, and that's the only thing that I can put this onto that I believe made the difference between me and the other two finalists in the final round with me, because they are wonderful financial planners. The only thing that I believe made the difference was my relationship. So I just surrounded myself with people that are better than me. And I asked them if they would coach me through the process, if they would give me critical feedback. And I was able to implement some of that.
Rudolph, I've always said the favorite part of my job is that I'm always surrounded by people smarter than me. So kudos on
Absolutely.
That. Let's go a bit countrywide. South Africa's financial landscape has its usual and unique challenges: geopolitics, volatility, regulatory shifts, and increasing complexity. We had Tupot and load shedding last year. This year we have Trump and the dip in the coffee bill. How would you describe the current state of the financial planning industry in the country?
Just everything that you mentioned speaks to one thing: complexity. We're obviously in a period of transformation. We want to do right by all of the stakeholders and most importantly, the clients. Regulation that comes on board is there to protect and empower South Africans to take a hold of their financial future and make the best decisions. So there's change. And with change comes complexity. And my role in the life of a client is to bring a bit of clarity and simplicity to all the complexity. So if you're a financial planner currently in the South African landscape, there's a lot to consider. There's a lot you need to know of. There's a lot you need to be on top of. And again, the only way that I can see that we can effectively do that as financial planners in order to make a significant difference in the lives of our clients is to have great partnerships, to have people in your world that are a little bit ahead of you, or to have people in your world that complement your areas of still that you need to work on, because you have your area of expertise, but ultimately you want to have people in your life that can speak to the areas where you're not as strong in, because ultimately that has a big positive impact on the clients.
I just mentioned the Tupot system and the coffee bill. Both have been hot topics in both the media and the financial industry. How do you see it impacting financial advisors and their clients going forward? And what other compliance hoops of fire will you have to jump through in the near future?
So you chose the most topical ones, and it's often received very negatively. But I'm maybe by nature of my personality more silver linings, glass half full kind of a person. And you could clearly see that in my Enneagram. And the Tupot system added a layer of complexity to the financial planning landscape and to the decisions that clients have to make and have the ability to make. But on the other side, if you look at the positive side of Tupot, it is an implementation of regulatory changes that is going to protect individual South Africans from themselves. Where I believe the reason why Tupot was implemented, even with all of its complexities, is we've seen so many opportunities for individuals to steal from their future selves by cashing out retirement savings prior to reaching retirement age. Yeah, you can't do it with retirement annuities, but a pension fund and a provident fund linked to your employer, if you jump ship, you move companies, one of the things that was just the easiest to do and oftentimes the advice given by those corporates was, you know, just cash out the money and you could reinvest it. But oftentimes people use it after they've paid exorbitant amount of taxes, where at least now with Tupot, 2/3 of all retirement savings are 100% protected until retirement age. And at that point, it's got to be annuitized. So at worst case, people can now only spend 1/3 of their future capital on themselves today. And it's helpful. I think even though we've seen a lot of withdrawals in the short term, I believe that's going to subside over the medium term. And over the longer term, unless I'm very naive, this can only be a good thing for the South African retirement savings landscape and for individual South Africans who need to look to themselves for future financial provision, And then secondly, when it comes to Kofi, I believe also the intention of that bill was to put clients first, to make sure that we have sustainable practices to serve our clients into the future, given the changing financial landscape and the complexity in South Africa and globally. And yes, it's hard to adapt. There's a lot of things to consider. But again, if you surround yourself by the right people and right partners in all aspects of your business, this is an opportunity to future-proof your business and to make sure that you set yourself up for success into the future.
Rudolf, this week our regular columnist and behavioral finance guru Paul Nixon wrote about how financial advisors play a crucial role in building investor psychology, you know, by fostering traits to prevent clients from doing stuff like panic selling or incurring any behavior tax, you know, which is the cost of switching investment vehicles. How important is behavioral finance in your approach to financial planning?
I don't think you'll be able to split behavioral finance and financial planning anymore. I think as financial planners, we've all been technically trained to be really good at the hard financial planning stuff. We know a lot about investments. We know a lot about tax. We know a lot about structures. And those things are important, right? You don't go to an attorney if you don't think that they can help you in your legal matter. So the same, you don't go to a certified financial planner professional and then you don't know that they'll be able to help you. But if you think about, and this just came to mind now, the top restaurants in the world, place like 11 on Madison come to mind. Will Goddard wrote that book, Unreasonable Hospitality. And in his book, he simply states that at that level of restaurant, one of the top 50 restaurants in the world, you expect the food to be good. If you arrive at that restaurant and your food is terrible, you're going to be blown away. But if you want to become the best restaurant in the world, you have to deliver on more than just the food. And I believe the same is true for financial planning. And that's where behavioral finance comes into mind. When a client comes to sit in front of me, they expect me to know what I'm talking about when it comes to investment management and risk management and estate planning. But what I need to deliver is on everything else. And where I believe the power of behavioral finance comes in is it allows me to connect to my client at a deeper level where I can help them unpack their biggest fears and we can sit together on the same side of the table in a proactive partnership and help them determine the right next steps for their life and how we can put their financial planning stuff, the products and the solutions, to best use in order to reach their future goals, hopes, and dreams. And behavioral finance is the glue for all of these things, because behavioral finance is not just being aware of the biases and blind spots and decisions that clients make, which sometimes negatively affect them without them even knowing it, but it's also reflecting the light back on myself to say, am I actually equipped with the skills to sit with a client when it's a difficult conversation? Or do I become uncomfortable and then just speak over the client? Am I actually using all of the skills available to me to just listen really clearly and intently to my client to understand what's really happening? Because oftentimes we see the symptom, but we actually need to get to the root cause if we want to give advice that changes a client's life.
Rudolf, let's talk about technology. I used to have to drive around to interview people, record the conversation on tape, go to the office to work on a desktop, transcribe the notes manually, and do fact-checking on a landline. Now, today, my smartphone does most of it for me. So what are you seeing in artificial intelligence or the use of it and robo-advisors and list apps and digital banks, all those things going on? Where are you standing in industry today?
As technology advances, I believe as financial planners, we need to become more human. Because if we have our value add, or if we believe that where we add value is on the technical side of financial planning and not in our ability to deeply connect with other humans and help them take their next steps, we're going to be replaced. But if you're a human-focused financial planner, I don't think that technology can ever replace us. In actual fact, I believe all of these pieces of technology we can bring in-house to make us more effective, more efficient, deliver better quality advice, that frees us up to spend more time with our clients to talk about not their money, but about their lives, because that is what moves the needle. So if you're a financial planner listening to this, technology, AI, automation, robo-advice is not something to be scared of. It's actually something to embrace, because you won't be replaced by AI, but you will probably be replaced by another financial planner using AI, because that financial planner is going to be more responsive, more available. They're going to have more headspace and clarity. They're going to be able to deliver work at a better pace, faster pace. And that's essentially what clients want. Somebody in control, somebody who is able to help them make sense of the complexity of life. And technology can help us be more efficient in that.
That brings me to the next question. Looking ahead, what do you see as the biggest opportunities for financial planners in South Africa, let's say over the next 5 years?
That is a difficult question to answer. I wish I had my crystal ball here today. But I believe that as financial planners, if we shift our focus and our attention away from being product or solution-based experts, somebody needs to come to me because I know everything about investments, or somebody needs to come to me because I'm the best estate planner, or somebody needs to come to me because I know everything about medical aid and more. That's, I don't believe, what clients need. That's a problem they want to solve, but that's not going to change their life. So the biggest opportunity for financial planners is to realize the important position they hold in the lives of clients due to the trust they've built up. And if they just lift their eyes from their computer screen and look a little bit forward with a wider field of vision and see all the areas where you can touch someone's life and make a significant difference, you'll be able to deliver a better, high-touch, holistic service that you can actually charge more for because you're more valuable. So the biggest opportunity that I believe is not to get more hyper-focused and more experience in a area. And by that, I also mean don't now become a generalist and try and be everything to everyone, but actually just realize how valuable you are to clients and that your advice transcends just product. And then you will be indispensable in the life of a client, and that'll open up many new doors and opportunities for you. But then on the other side, we have some challenges that we might need to overcome that we touched on earlier around compliance and COFI and POPI and all these things that we need to grapple with. But if we do it successfully, we will run better practices.
Rudolf, before we wrap up, what advice would you give to a young or aspiring financial planner looking to make an impact in the industry?
If you adopt a growth mindset, and you love people and want to make a difference, and you always want to do right by your client, I think you have an incredible future ahead of you. I think the one thing that is a testament in my life that I've shared at the start as to why I believe I was able to become the 2024 Financial Planner of the Year was due to the different people that spoke into my life, that availed themselves, that gave of their time, that gave advice, that simply wanted to help me and see me succeed, i.e. you could wrap that under the term of mentorship. That is probably one of the best ways to leapfrog your career. So reach out to somebody that you know, whether in your organization or outside of your organization, and just connect to them, because people want to help. People want to see others succeed. I don't believe inherently people are selfish. Sometimes we are a little bit of selfish with our time when things are quite on the go, but people want to help. So reach out, ask for help, and then learn from them. Don't get some advice and think you know better and then not implement, because then it's pointless. But if you're willing to learn from other people and you've got that growth mindset where today was great, but what can I do better tomorrow? How can you not be successful in this incredible financial profession that we have?
Well, that's a wrap of today's episode. A huge thank you to Rudolf Heldnes for sharing your inspiring journey with us today. To all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Uester, and my producer, Joe Lowe from the CityWire Studios team. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We're available on all major platforms such as Spotify and Apple Podcasts and iono.fm. All CityWire South Africa podcasts and videos are also available on our website. Go register and have a look at our wealth of multimedia content. And with that, and until next time, goodbye.